Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this morning, an opportunity to come and to worship you, and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us to yourself. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and that you would let us know that you are God. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. In your sermon, or in your bulletin, are a series of sermon notes. Fill in the blanks. There's enough room to write down whatever it is that God is speaking to you this morning. I don't proclaim to believe that God speaks through every word that I speak. I think He does, but where you're at, God will speak to you. And write that down so that you have a record of what God is asking of you this week. And then on the other side are some devotions that you can follow along with during the rest of this week. If you're listening online, there's a PDF download for both the sermon notes and the devotions. I asked you earlier, what is your favorite movie franchise? Your favorite movie franchise. And I was thinking about that. The earliest one that I remember for me is Back to the Future. Do you remember that? Back to the Future? Great movie, series of movies. But then I started thinking, what's my current favorite? And it is the largest movie franchise ever. And it's called the Marvel Universe. Marvel Universe. Who knew that Stan Lee's comic book creations would one day grow this big? In fact, to date, it has 21 films as of this last Friday. And it has grossed over $1.75 billion worldwide, not including what's happening this weekend. Now, let me give you just a quick 1 or 2 minute franchise to date, what Marvel has done. Most of the main Avengers have their own movie or a series of movies depicting who they are and how they came to hero status. You may recognize some of these heroes, the Hulk, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, Spider-Man, Ant-Man, Vision, Doctor Strange, and the list goes on. The glue that holds this Marvel Universe franchise together are the three current Avenger movies in which most of these various characters participate. And at the end of the third Avenger movie, it was just last year, came out the antagonist Thanos. Thanos wipes out half of all living creatures, all the people in the universe, and of course, half of our superheroes have disappeared too. The last of the planned Avenger movies is coming out 5 days after Easter. 5 days after Easter. And I'm wondering if they're going to resurrect our lost heroes and our lost people. This past Friday, the last of the new Avengers has appeared, and her name is Captain Marvel. And the question is, going into the movie, who is Captain Marvel? What powers does she bring to the Marvel Universe? Is she the key to reviving all of the lost people and the Avengers? Now, it's funny, sometimes when I look at these kinds of franchises or movies or things that come out, they're really addressing needs that people have. And it's funny how they wrap themselves up in the imaginary universe called Marvel, but it reveals the overarching question all people of all time must wrestle with. And the question is this: who has the power? Who has the power in life to give life? Who has the power in life to give life? When I think about all humanity, deep within us, there is a question which needs to be answered, and in part it helps us to solve the question of who I am. What am I created to be? How should I live? What's my purpose in life? And the answer hinges on this question: who has the power in life to give life? Because we have to note, whoever has this power to give life has a reason for giving me life, for giving you life. I was doing some reading for this sermon, and in one of my books that I pulled off the shelf was an email I had received some time ago that reflected a teenager's desire for answers. My young friend wrote to me, "I look around myself every day and I see amazing, loving people who are not of Christian faith and who either belong to a different religion or have no religion or belief." And then they go on to write, "I believe in all paths to a loving God, and I wonder if Christianity is the right choice for me." Throughout world history, there has been a need and sometimes a struggle to find God, and then how to get close to God. For many, love is God's defining attribute. And in search of love and acceptance, many then find themselves in search of this loving and caring God. And we can see throughout history that many legends have been passed down about the various gods through time that have existed in our world. There's a fascination with them, and that's displayed via stories or books or movies about these various heroes or gods. We have physical reminders in archaeological digs of the search for gods in many parts of the world, making up many different cultures through time, some of which no longer exist. And so we note that history shows us people are looking for a God. Maybe this is why, in part, people love the Marvel Universe. They are particularly hoping that this new Marvel character, Captain Marvel, will be the one to heal the broken cosmic universe. We all want a hero. We all want a savior. And then something happened in history. Not the first time, and nor will it be the last, but someone came on the world scene and claimed to be the God of all creation. The one story of this God of all creation is captured here in the Bible, the God who created us and desires to be known by us and to be in a love relationship with us. The Old Testament is a story of God creating people to be with them. And then when they turn from God, God's continued attempt after attempt to win them back. The story of God coming to and dwelling on earth is Jesus' story, which is captured in the first four books of the New Testament. Jesus, who claims to be God in the flesh, God who dwells among us, the God of the universe, here with us. Not a comic story thought up by Stan Lee and brought to film, but the divine who lived a life here on earth as a man for the express purpose of revealing to us the one true living God, the God of all humanity, that we might know Him, that we might enter into a true relationship with Him. Now, after Jesus has spent time with His disciples, teaching with this authority of God, performing miracle upon miracles, even claiming to be God, Matthew records Jesus turning to His disciples and asking him this most important question. And it's this. Read it with me. "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" It's as if Jesus is taking a survey. A survey. "Who do people say," in the third person, "the Son of Man is?" At this point, Jesus has gotten around a bit, and the answer surprises me to some level. Read it with me. "They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the other prophets.' What do you note about these people?" All of them were prophets. Note that the initial response the disciple gave to Jesus was a response that they are prophet, or that the Son of Man is a prophet. And a prophet is simply one who speaks, one whom God speaks through to God's people. So they thought of Jesus in terms of someone who is raised up or called by God to speak God's truth to the people of God. And the reality is Jesus was doing that. He was speaking for God. This people recognized this authority, this voice, and thus they called him a prophet, and so it was true. And although some prophets did do miracles now and then, it wasn't on the level of what Jesus had been doing. But really, this is too safe a question to answer. You know, you could ask this of anyone and they would respond to you, who do people say Jesus is? And they would not feel threatened because you're not asking them anything personal. You're just asking them, who do people say Jesus is? And they could safely give an answer about who they think other people think Jesus is. At another time in Jerusalem, Jesus is present and a debate rages about who he is. Someone said, he's a good man. He's a good man. Others replied, no, he deceives the people. Another person said, he is demon-possessed. And yet another person says, surely this man is a prophet. And many people in the crowd believed in him. And they said this, when the Messiah comes, will he perform more miracles than he? Interesting question, isn't it? What they really believed about Jesus, who they thought Jesus really was, would shape their journey with God. The teenager in the letter believed Jesus to be a good man, maybe even a prophet, but this teenager couldn't get around to Jesus being the Son of God, Savior of the world, because they believed that there were many ways to God. This is a true struggle for many people. Who do they say Jesus is? Because we have to know who people believe Jesus to be shapes their willingness to follow him. Who they believe Jesus to be shapes their willingness to follow him. Now, in this morning's scripture, Jesus is unwilling to let it go with just who others say he is. He then turns to his disciples and asks the more pointed question that we all have to answer. Read it with me. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say I am? It's one thing to ask what other people think of me, because there's no skin in the game for that. But for instance, what do people think about Heartland United Methodist Church? Oh, it's a nice church. I understand they worship God on Sundays. Where is it located? Those are answers you might get. But what if you ask, what do you think about Heartland UMC, the church that I attend? All of a sudden, there's skin in the game. This is a much more directed question, wanting to know what they think about your church, which might either please you in their answer or hurt you. And Jesus asks the disciples then and us today, who do you say I am? Because who you believe Jesus to be shapes how you will be today, tomorrow, and forever. How you believe, what you believe Jesus to be, shapes your willingness to follow him. And it is Peter who answers Jesus, and he says these words, you are the Messiah, Son of the living God. And because of what he believed, although Peter would stumble in his belief, at a critical moment, as Jesus is being tried, but because of Peter's belief, he would follow Jesus for the rest of his days. Who he believed Jesus to be would eventually help his willingness to follow him. Who he believed Jesus to be shaped how he would follow Jesus then, tomorrow, and into the future. Because tradition holds that Peter was crucified for his belief in Jesus. But get this, he felt that he was unworthy. Peter, a leader of the church, a leader of this movement of Christianity, felt unworthy to be crucified in the same manner as Jesus, and so he was crucified upside down. Who Peter believed Jesus to be shaped him that day. It shaped him the next day, the day after that, and into eternity. Who do you say Jesus is? Who you believe Jesus to be, read the rest with me. Who you believe Jesus to be will shape you today, tomorrow, and forever. Now, let's take a step back for a moment. Those who answered who they thought Jesus was could really fall into one of three categories. Categories that Josh McDowell developed in his book called More Than a Carpenter. And there were those who thought that Jesus was a liar. They thought he was a liar. And we heard this just a moment ago. He deceives others. Or others said, he's just a good man pretending to be somebody that he's not. It's as if he was snowing people for notoriety, for fame, for people to pay his way in life. Look at me, Mom, I'm on top now. And I suppose, if forced, we could put into this category here that he was a good man. Maybe even a prophet, but certainly not the Son of God. He was just a liar. And then there were those who thought that Jesus was a lunatic. A lunatic. He's demon-possessed. How does he do these miracles? They're all from the devil. And he's leading everyone straight to hell. So there were some who thought that Jesus was just a lunatic. And then the final option is that there were those like Peter who thought that Jesus was Lord. That Jesus was Lord, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, and they were willing to follow him to the ends of the earth. Even willing to die for him rather than recant their belief in him as the Messiah, as God in the flesh, God who dwelled with them, Lord and Savior. Their belief in Jesus shaped how they lived then, the days that followed, and into eternity. If you remember several weeks ago, I gave you some statistics regarding belief in God and belief in Jesus as God. And about 75% of all people believed in a God that were Americans. This is an American statistic. About 75% of all people in America believe in a God. And then we have to note that about 62% of those who say they believe in a God believe that Jesus is God. Believe that Jesus is God. And it works out then, if you extrapolate the numbers, that less than half of all Americans believe Jesus is God. Less than half of all Americans believe Jesus is God. Even though 75% believe in our God, it comes out to 46.5% only believe Jesus is God. This means clearly more than half of all Americans believe if He did exist, if he did exist, because some do not believe he didn't exist, or did exist. Jesus was either a liar, a lunatic, but not the Son of God, God in the flesh, and Savior of the world. And their unbelief in Jesus shapes how they live today, tomorrow, and in the future. If you believe Jesus is just a man, a liar, or a lunatic, if you don't believe in life after death, you may find yourself surprised, but in a good way. If you believe Jesus was the Son of God, you will find yourself... I'm sorry. Did you catch what I did? I should have said not in a good way, right? If you believe Jesus is just a man, liar, or lunatic, if you don't believe in life after death, you may find yourself surprised, not in a good way. If you believe Jesus was the Son of God, you will find yourself with God in heaven one day. And as I think most everyone knows, Mark Spaugh, who was pastor of this church back in the 80s and 90s, was found dead in his house the other day. And one of the things and I learned this yesterday morning, one of the things that Mark would have wanted us to know is to not be sad for him, because he's in a far better place. He's in a much a better place. But here's the sticky part about believing in Jesus. That if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, but not His miracles, or maybe not His teachings, like forgiveness comes with confession, that you can live in freedom from condemnation, that God's grace is greater than all of our sin. Or if you believe in His ability to raise the dead, how will that affect you today? How will that affect you tomorrow? How will that affect how you live your life? If you only believe in some of the whole of Jesus, then you'll be living only a part of the freedom that God wants you to live in. You'll only be so good of a witness for God to help others to know God too if you only believe some of Jesus and not the whole. In other words, you'll be missing out. You know, with this Marvel franchise, I'm excited to see this new character. Captain Marvel does she have the power to revive our lost heroes and half of humanity? Yet I have to remember, it's still only a comic strip. It will provide some fleeting pleasure in this lifetime, but really nothing more. But what I already know is based on the truth of Scripture. I believe Jesus' healing ministries then, and that He still heals us today. I believe that my sins will be forgiven when I confess them, that I don't have to live under condemnation, that God's grace is greater than all my sins, that one day I'll be up with Mark in heaven and we'll be celebrating together. Because I believe in all of who Jesus is and not just part, I can be in an ongoing relationship with God now. I'm never alone, and I know intimately the one who has the power to give life. Therefore, I understand who I am. I understand how to live my life, who God created me to be. And I'm good with that. How about you? Are you good with that? And how about other people in your life? Are they good with that? I was thinking, what is it that I could challenge you with today? What is it that I could challenge you with in your life to help draw you closer to God? Charles, if you could help me pass some of these out. What I have here is a Lenten challenge for you. I'm going to give you multiple copies because I think you need to give some of these copies out to other people as a part of your witness to who God is. Take them. Give them away. Let other people know not only that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but that you would be willing to enter in with them, a 40-day agreement to pray the Lord's Prayer. I've even got boxes there for you to check off if you're a person that needs something to check off. And so go through and pray the Lord's Prayer every day. The challenge is to give God 900 seconds of your life before you get into your day. That's 15 minutes. To pray the Lord's Prayer. And I put an asterisk at the end of the Lord's Prayer where you need to pause. The Lord's Prayer is a model for us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You'll see an asterisk following it. And at that asterisk, just pause and praise God. Just spend some time thanking God for all that He's given us. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Thy kingdom come. Ask God to bring His kingdom as a reality on this earth through you. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is it, Lord, that you want me to do today? Who is it that you want me to speak to listen to help them know you more? And then the rest of the prayer is there. You'll see the asterisks, pause, and this can easily take, I would spend 45 minutes or a better part of an hour when I initially began to pray this way, using this as a model. So 15 minutes will blow by quickly. But take an extra copy and say, hey, my pastor asked me to pass this out. I'm just doing what he told me to do. Right? Or you could make something a little bit more of it. Hey, you want to enter into just a time during Lenten season. You know, you can approach spiritual people. They'll receive it. Who you believe Jesus to be will shape you today, tomorrow, and forever. I've just given you something to do. Something that you'll do in Jesus' name because you believe that He is the Son of God. The long-awaited Messiah who has come into the world and will come back again one day. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know that You love us and that You care for us, that You sent Jesus. And we ask in Jesus' name that You would even put in our mind, our heart's mind, the names of someone that we can enter into an agreement with during these following days of Lent to pray the Lord's Prayer with. Lord, that You would use us to reach out to a hurting world who desires a hero. The hero that You gave to us in Jesus. We love You, Jesus. Use us, we ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.